The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Oh my goodness, we're in the third hour already. Welcome back to the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. Randy Corcoran coming up at the top of the hour. Good to be with you. Thanks so much for joining us and being a part of the program on this, the first live show of the year. You heard in the show open there a little bit of yours truly on harmonica with Biff Gore, who was on last Saturday's show for New Year's Day, which was a lot of fun. Well, tonight I will be sitting in with the Young at Heart Band at Dougie G's in Thornton. That's at VFW Post 7945, 7 p.m. There is a cover, I think, I want to say it's $10, but it'll be a great time. I'm looking forward to that tonight. Then next Saturday night, afternoon, I keep mixing up the time frames, but afternoon from 2 to 5, the Lapdogs will be playing at Rails End Beer Company in Broomfield. Looking forward to playing some harp with the Lapdogs yet again, our first show of 2022. And then my side project, Jimmy Jr. and the Roaring Elephants, will be performing at the venue on Friday night, February 4th. Doors open at 7. We are the first band that will be up for an hour of three bands at 8 p.m. That's going to be a blast. If you log on Facebook.com/Jimmy Jr. Music, that's my stage name, Jimmy Jr., Facebook.com/Jimmy Jr. Music, you can follow, get all the details on the shows that are coming up, and get ticket information for the venue show on February 4th. I'm excited for that. That's going to be a blast. Then also a housekeeping note for next Saturday's show. For those concerned about election integrity, worried about the Heritage Foundation scorecard that has Colorado ranked tied for 34th, giving them a score of 51 out of 100. This is going to be really interesting. In the 8 o'clock hour next Saturday, January 15th, I will be joined by both Hans von Spakovsky, the head of the Election Integrity Scorecard at the Heritage Foundation, and Matt Crane, the executive director of the Colorado County Clerks Association, to have a meeting of the minds on where Colorado is at, Heritage's ranking, how that was concluded, so on and so forth. It's going to be a fascinating discussion you'll only hear on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show in the 8 o'clock hour next Saturday. Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation's Election Scorecard and Matt Crane of the County Clerks Association right here together on this program, News Talk 710 KNUS. All right, this hour, though, is going to be devoted to something much more local than the topics of the last hour, as we talk about the legislative session that is gearing up to begin next week. We should be joined by State Representative Hugh McKeon. He is the House Minority Leader. He hasn't called in yet, but I am pleased to be joined by the State Senate Whip, State Senator Paul Lundeen, who joins me now for what I'm calling our session starter, what we need to know about as we get revved up and ready to go in this new year and the new legislative session. Although I'm a little less revved up than I would like to be, Senator Lundeen, because, gosh, we're not in charge by a long shot. But good morning. Happy New Year.
Good morning and Happy New Year, Jimmy. It is great to be with you. Jimmy Jr. and the Roaring Elephants. That sounds interesting to me.
It's the best blues band you're going to find for a good old time. That's for darn sure.
Fair enough. I liked your harmonica in the intro. Back to policy, the theme as we head into the legislative session, and the Colorado Constitution sets us up with a 120-day consecutive session, which starts this coming Wednesday. We'll be back to normal order for the first time in 2 years. The previous 2 years, the Democrats have suspended normal order using the coronavirus, the COVID crisis, as a reason to extend and make the process a lot different than what the Constitution calls for. But we're coming back in. 35 members in the Senate, 65 members in the House, and then, of course, the governor. All three of those elements have been controlled now by the Democrats for years. And I would say the theme from my perspective is, you've got to be kidding me. The Democrats are now saying that they, after having driven the policy car of Colorado into the ditch on the critical issues of how safe are we in our communities, how affordable is life in Colorado, are parents able to have authority over their child's education, after the Democrats have spent several years now making Colorado less safe, making Colorado more unaffordable, and taking away from parents the authority over their child's education, they're now saying, me too, me too, me too, to the Republican agenda, actually make progress on those three issues. It's hilarious.
Let me jump in and actually read here. So Priscilla Ron, Colorado GOP vice chair, is the first person I saw literally make this comparison. So this was August 9th, 2021, when the Colorado Republican Party announced the commitment to Colorado. They tweeted out, quote, "This is our commitment to Colorado. One, make Colorado affordable." And green check mark, by the way, is actually what it is for 1, 2, and 3, but I'm going to give him numbers. One, make Colorado affordable. Two, prioritize public safety. Three, expand educational choice. Read the full commitment to Colorado here at commitment2colorado.com. That was a tweet from the Colorado GOP on August 9th of last year. Then, just this past week, Colorado Senate Democrats tweet out the following. "We are 1 week away from the start of our 2022 session," and they have some enthusiastic claps and stuff. I'm not feeling the enthusiasm. That's them. "After a successful 2021, notice that, successful 2021, we're getting ready to move Colorado forward and have a plan to also green check marks for 1, 2, 3, 4, save people money, improve public safety, set students up for success," and they add, "expand housing and healthcare access." Other than number four, that sounds like Joe Biden plagiarism right there, Senator Paul Lundeen.
That's exactly what's going on. I tell you what, Democrats have had the governor's office, control of the House, and control of the Senate for years now, and they have put us. Let's talk about public safety. In 2020, violent crimes were committed at a rate of 423,000 per 100,000 people versus the national average of 398 in Colorado. This represents the state's highest level of violent crime in 25 years. In 2020 alone, we saw a 6.5% increase in violent crimes, 18% increase in aggravated assaults, and a 29% increase in homicides. So under the Democrat policies of reducing bails, eliminating bails, decriminalizing any number of misdemeanors and some felonies, we have seen a hockey stick hook up in violent crimes and aggravated assaults in the state. Democrat policies have driven us there. And now they're saying, boy, we need to do something about crime in our communities. Car thefts in Colorado in 2020, 28,000 property crimes, car thefts in Colorado. The only state that was worse was not even a state. It's the District of Columbia. It is astounding the problems that they have. And now you've got to be kidding me. The Democrats are saying, oh, pay no attention to those policies we've been putting in place. We want to do something about crime. That's just one example of where they've been driving us into the ditch. And now they want us to let them continue to have control of the steering wheel and the gas pedal on the car of Colorado.
Driving us into the ditch in a stolen car, probably. Maybe my own stolen car, because my car, Senator Lundeen, was stolen twice in a matter of 9 weeks.
Shame.
In 2020.
You need to lock it. You got to get one of those, the bars that you put across the steering wheel.
Well, let's just say that the statistics of 2020 that you just cited regarding car thefts, they were not ones that were just statistics to me.
Well, no, it's very personal. And part of the challenge we face right now is folks who are facing property crimes like the theft of a car, they reach out to law enforcement, and law enforcement is so overworked and, quite frankly, inadequately funded in many cases. It's not law enforcement's fault. It's the public policy apparatus as driven by the Democrat Party.
Yeah.
They say, hey, we're dealing with violent crimes against people first. We'll get to the property crimes later. And the reality is that's not the way it should be. We should be able to respond to all sorts of crimes because people's property is, in fact, an indication of their work. It's their life.
Yes.
You know, by the sweat of your brow, you earn your money, you buy things that become your property. Mm-hmm. And when those are damaged or stolen, that's actually kind of like having part of your life stolen, and we need to be able to respond to that.
No doubt, and it can lead to violence as well, violent actions that may happen, say, as you're trying to get away from a criminal situation or from a property crime situation or so forth. We're talking with State Senator Paul Lundeen, who is the minority whip in the state Senate. We just are a couple of votes down in the Senate, but let's also go to the State House of Representatives, where we are unfortunately significantly down in the count compared to the Democrats. House Minority Leader Hugh McKeon joins us as well here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. Representative McKeon, good morning. Welcome.
Well, good morning, Jimmy, and my esteemed colleague, Paul Lundeen. Good morning.
Hey, Hugh.
It's good to have you. So let me just sort of get your top line sense for this upcoming legislative session. It starts next week. This is our session starter. What's your sort of theme or big thing that we should be looking for?
Well, let's start out with this is an election year. So for the most part, in election years, we should see a tempering of the crazy stuff, of the big bills from the Democrats, especially this year. But so we usually just see a little bit more staid activity of just doing the work of the state, and then everybody goes out and campaigns for their elections. This year, I don't think we're going to see that. We've already heard that Representative Escar out of Pueblo is going to run a unionize everything bill to unionize all public employees. We know that we're going to see more bills on health care, putting more control in the hands of the state. We know we're going to see more bills on what the state's role is in the lives of kids and their education. So, you know, from the Republican perspective, we're going to offer the solutions that we have that are better for this state. We're going to offer solutions that make it more affordable to live here, offer solutions that help with fighting crime and getting tough and getting back to that idea of the broken window theory of fighting crime. And then really just trying to give parents more control over their kids' education to make sure that they can get the education that's appropriate for their children for the thing that their kid might be interested in or want to do.
What would you like to see done in terms of crime? Is that, Representative McKeon, undoing some of the damage, like we had Senate Bill 217, for example? Is there anything proactive? What will the Republican agenda entail in terms of crime? Because as Senator Lundeen just laid out, we really do have a serious issue when it comes to the hockey stick rise in crime.
It is the most alarming crime wave that I think we've ever seen, because it's, as I heard you guys talking about, it's not just the property crime. It's the aggravated assaults that are up steeply. 51% rise in homicides in Denver just last year. And I think, you know, we look at what that really is. It's an attitude that the criminal comes first. The Democrats have put this forward that we're going to reduce bail. We're going to reduce sentences. We're going to reduce all this stuff because we want to make it easy on criminals. That is the worst possible thing for families and neighborhoods and communities in this state. So when we come about it, we're going to take a look at offering retention bonuses to law enforcement and say, look, you know, if the state has a way to help here, let's make sure that good cops can stay in this state and do their job. We've got to look at going back and actually tackling the side of what we told them to go do. We said you have to have body cams. We never gave them the money for it. We said you have to work with co-responder programs, and we never gave them the money to hire people to do that.
Yeah.
The problem was that the Democrats wanted to use those things, those mandates, as a way of defunding the police.
Hmm.
So what they did was they put more responsibility on the police departments so that to comport with what we asked, then they had to take money out of their general fund, which meant less police on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to get that done. But I will say it's not just a money problem. It is an attitude problem. And that the problem we have with crime right now is a function of the ink in the governor's pen. He signed 6 bills over the last 2 years that eviscerated law enforcement in the state. 217, he told police officers, even if you go do your job, with the training you have, you're going to be liable if one thing goes wrong. If one thing happens that somebody doesn't like, you're going to be $25,000 liable. You're going to have to put your house at risk, your family at risk. And a lot of law enforcement officers said, we're not going to stay in Colorado to do that.
We're talking with House Minority Leader Hugh McKeon and Senate Minority Whip Paul Lundeen here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show. We're going to take a break, and our session starter will continue when we return right here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Coming back with the best damn bumper music known to man, nearly 8.5 years running here on News Talk 710 KNUS. It's Government Mule from their new album, fantastic album I got for Christmas, Heavy Load Blues, doing the Junior Wells tune, Snatch It Back and Hold It, which my band Jimmy Jr. and the Roaring Elephants will perform. We're adding it to the set list on Friday, February 4th at The Venue. You can look up the venue and get tickets and details. I'll have more information in the coming weeks. And yes, I will actually be singing that particular tune. Good to be with you again, the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. We're doing our session starter this morning as, this week, the Democrat-run legislature is about to, get as loose as they can on our pocketbooks and in all sorts of different areas of our lives. And the only thing stopping them are guys like those and gals, like those we're talking to right now here on the program, House Minority Leader Hugh McKeon and Senate Minority Whip Paul Lundeen joining us here on the show. And Representative McKeon, I wanted to ask you, because the first thing that Paul and I talked about at the top was how the Democrats are sort of at least rhetorically taking the Republican agenda. What do you make of that?
You know, it's one of those things that you're just like, where have you been all these years? So I was talking to my staff yesterday, and I thought, you know, it really is that old line that imitation is the most sincere form of flattery.
That's right.
Maybe they're coming around. Maybe they realize that they have been just raping the people of Colorado and telling them that they ought to pay more to get their Amazon package delivered and pay more in gas tax and pay more in business license fees and everything, and suddenly they've woken up. No, the governor wants to get reelected. Go figure. And they realize that the families in this state are hurting terribly. They're hurting, and they realize that they have created a problem for themselves,
mm-hmm.
both with crime and with taxes and fees and really truly with a terrible response in terms of the state and kids and education.
Yeah.
And so they're like, we got to do something. They've got good ideas. And that's right. We have the best ideas. Republicans have always had the best ideas to prosper the people of this state. And we would love to think that the Democrats are listening. No, the Democrats have just picked up a talking.
No, that's right. Senator Lundeen, what do you make of that? I think he's spot on.
Yeah, he was just framed up perfectly. I like to think of it as the car of the policy of the people of Colorado. The Democrats have driven it into the ditch. Now they're now sitting there in the ditch. They're gunning the engine, trying to get out of the ditch. And the reality is their policies will not get them out of the ditch. So they need our policies to get back on track.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have been talking for months, even in last session. We were talking about things to keep affordability of life in Colorado where the average person, the average Coloradan can prosper. And now what you're hearing from the Democrats is, you know, that bill that we wrote and passed last year, 260, that creates fees on cars, fees on fuel, fees on that which you need to get to and from school, to mm-hmm. and from work. Well, we're going to put a pause on that, say the Democrats, because we're acknowledging, even though we're not saying it out loud, the Democrats are, it's a bad idea. Well, I'm telling you as a Republican, it's a bad idea today. It was a bad idea a year ago when we fought against it and the Democrats rammed it through, and it's a bad idea next year. So they can't get out of the ditch without Republican policies, and so they're trying to cobble on and grab onto the policies we've been talking about all along.
Minority Whip Paul Lundeen in the State Senate. I wrote my column, weekly column for the Denver Gazette yesterday. Here's how to keep Colorado schools open, because, look, the reality is that our students across the state have been forced into remote learning and to the worst kind of educational conditions for far too long. And there is a battle right now to keep schools open. I recommend a number of ways to do this. I think schools can provide additional pay to teachers to cover their colleagues' classes, because they're already asking them, hey, we need your help. Can you cover this class or that class? I think there need to be innovative ways to bring in more substitute teachers to get students who are in education schools that are universities like UNC and DU and other places, wherever they're studying education, to go into classrooms and get paid practicum in order to fill some of those classes. What do you think we can do and need to do as far as keeping kids in schools? And what are your thoughts on education amidst COVID right now?
Well, I'll dive right in and say choice and flexibility.
Amen.
What happened when COVID hit, about 3% of the 900,000 students in Colorado, they stayed home. They just said, we're not going to do it. And quite frankly, they stayed home because most of the districts were saying, we really don't want you here anyway. You can study online or not. But the charter schools were more nimble, more flexible, and the population of students participating in charter schools flared up. It jumped up from about 12% to almost 15%, because they figured out innovative ways to keep kids safe, to keep kids in school, and to keep kids learning. And parents said, that's what we want. So choice and flexibility. We will be, the Republican agenda will be bringing more bills that says, look, we're awash in cash now. Let's give some of that cash to the flexible methods parents have created, in ways that they know will give their children the best academic opportunity. And we need to do this not only to get through COVID, but quite frankly, we need to do it because the Colorado public education system stands condemned, or at least challenged. We're failing 50% of all students in third, fifth, and seventh grade. The last time we took serious tests to understand where we were at, 50% of the students in those grades were below proficient in reading and math. That's unacceptable when half of the students you're trying to help, you are not helping. Unacceptable. Flexibility and choice is where we need to go. Those are Republican policies. They're wins for the students, wins for the state.
Absolutely. House Minority Leader Hugh McKeon, when we look at the education issue, I think Senator Lundeen hit on something that's so crucial. And that is the idea of choice, where you have parents who've been at the mercy of school districts, unable to find alternatives if they can't afford it or anything along those lines. What do you think we should be seeing out of the legislature in that regard? To me, it comes much more toward funding students, not systems. But what can we do to empower parents in these kinds of situations?
Well, I think what you just did was hit the nail on the head. It comes to funding students, not systems. It comes to focusing on kids, not the apparatus. Because when we focus on kids, when we say that look, Johnny is where we are focused on making sure that he progresses in reading and math scores. When we look at Mary and say what we really want is for Mary to come out of chemistry or come out of biology with an understanding of the subject at hand, then we actually start talking about how is it that we deliver the best product. And bluntly, I'm going to tell you, the teachers have been on the hook for a lot of bad decisions this year.
Hey, that is so true, Hugh.
And the thing is that, you know, you look at what teachers had to adapt to in COVID, which were not things that they necessarily wanted to do, but all of a sudden they were thrown into the hybrid classroom where they'd get their kids for one day a week and the kids would be home for 4 days a week and maybe Wednesdays would be a work day, maybe they wouldn't. And so all of a sudden teachers had no ability to really meter out the education that they were giving those kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know of one instance where there was an entire geometry class that failed geometry. And it was not because the teacher wasn't working hard at it. It was because geometry requires sitting in class and talking about why a triangle needs to come out to 180 degrees, right? All of the things that you've got to look at and talk about. And that just didn't happen. And so the teachers were terribly frustrated. And a lot of the systems, a lot of the school districts put in place things that protected their liability, but didn't help the teachers, didn't help the kids.
I think that's so profoundly important to keep in mind. Senator Lundeen, when we look at health care, this is something else that, of course, Democrats are highlighting. This was the one thing that they added to their list of otherwise imitators, expand housing and health care access. When they say health care access, they don't really just mean access. They mean more government control like we saw in the last session, don't they?
Yeah, that's part of the challenge is this health care question and the access idea is like squeezing a balloon. You provide access to insurance, but you restrict access to actual care. It's actually connecting a person with a medical provider is what we need to do. And so many of the Democrat policies, which really are about creating government controls over prices, will have the net effect of taking actual care away from people, making it less available, unavailable. We fought some bills recently where the government was going to essentially tell physicians how to practice, what they could and couldn't do, essentially. And that is absolutely the wrong thing. Do you want government, in fact, taking care of a serious medical need that you have? Heck no. I want a physician or a physician assistant or a nurse assisting me. And that's what Republicans have leaned into, is giving more authority distributed to more capable medical professionals and therefore provide greater access instead of government restricting prices and therefore collapsing access.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I want to squeeze in one other topic here before we have to hit our break. Representative McKeon, again, House Minority Leader, energy is a crucial issue. We have a very important oil and gas industry here in Colorado. And it does seem that every time they get a chance, the Democrats try to really strangle that industry. And look, we had the most horrifying fires imaginable last week in Superior and Louisville, and we need to help those communities and address fire prevention and mitigation issues. But I worry that with that issue, because they've already talked about climate change, with that issue that they're going to go after a critical industry for our communities that even helps fund the very schools that we're talking about that have been struggling for students. What can you tell us? What do you think about the climate agenda / anti-energy agenda that we may see?
Well, so you're right. We saw the horror of what happens when everything comes together in one moment, right? High winds, this fire, we saw that go on. But we saw that in California and Oregon last year as well. And all of a sudden we had terrible, terrible hazy days and smoke from California and Oregon drifting over the state of Colorado. And I mention that because those days of air quality are what the Democrats are using to say that we have to do more for air quality in Colorado because of Colorado problems. And that's where the Democrats are lying to the people of the state, because what they're trying to say is, hey, those fires out there, they're Colorado's problem. No, they're not. Those were California and Oregon's problems. And so when we talk about energy in the state and how the industry, the oil and gas industry and others are impacted, you know, there is a group of people in this state that want to see oil and gas go away. And Senator Lundeen and I fight those people every day in the legislative session. You know, we've had bills that have been offered, and I think we might see a bill this year that says you can't hook a natural gas line to a new home because they think that electricity is the only way to do this. Didn't we play this game back in the 1970s where everybody got those electric baseboard heaters and all of a sudden their winter heating bills shot through the roof? And at the same time, they're saying electricity is the only way. They're shutting down coal-fired power plants. You know, we're looking at Comanche shutting down. We're looking at the Craig units up there shutting down. We're looking at Rawhide on the way to Cheyenne shutting down, one of the cleanest coal-burning power plants in the Northern Hemisphere. And the Democrats don't care because they see that dirty four-letter word, coal. Well, coal's been lighting the lights in my house for as long as I've lived here and doing it in a beautiful, clean, responsible way. So what the Democrats have really done and what Polis has really done, our governor decided he was going to set about this climate agenda. They gave all the power to an unelected body, and that's the Air Quality Control Commission in this state. The Air Quality Control Commission now is going to dictate who can drive to work and who cannot. They're going to dictate what kind of car you can have. They're going to dictate how much you're going to pay in terms of gas and a climate fee. They are going to, as an unelected body, change the fabric of our state.
Gosh.
And those are the things that we need to stand up and fight.
We're going to take a quick break here as we continue and wrap up our session starter segment with House Minority Leader Hugh McKeon and Senate Minority Whip Paul Lundeen on the other side. We'll find out what you can do pragmatically to help our state in this next legislative session. Keep it right here. We're rocking and rolling ahead on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. Rocking and rolling back. Jimmy Sengenberger here with you. 7 p.m. I'll be sitting with Young at Heart Band at Dougie G's in Thornton. Good to have the opportunity as well on this, the first live show of 2022, to be joined by State House Minority Leader Hugh McKeon and Senate Minority Whip Paul Lundeen. It pained me. It pained me to jump right into the conversation when I had some good Stevie Ray Vaughan guitar going on there. But what can you do when you are up against the timing of the final segment coming to an end? By the way, Randy Corcoran up next. Senator Lundeen, I want to ask you if you can, as we wrap up here, be the first to tell us a little bit sort of your final thoughts on what folks should be watching for the session, concerned about / looking forward to Republicans proposing or moving forward, but especially as well, what can people do to push back and make sure that their voices are heard by this legislature?
Yeah, absolutely, Jimmy. Appreciate the opportunity to be on, appreciate the opportunity to interact with the folks of Colorado in this way. We kind of finished up the last segment. We were talking about climate policy, essentially, and something we need to pay attention to because it turns and talks to the third issue that we've really been working hard on and will be bringing a Republican agenda to improve the circumstance, is climate policy isn't free. All of these things the Democrats have been doing, and they do it in a restrictive way. They want to take clean natural gas off the table. They want to take coal off the table, but they don't want to add anything else to the table. Republicans have been saying all along, all of the above. I was in a seminar last week, an energy seminar down on the Gulf Coast, and there is an incredibly compelling case to be made for clean, safe nuclear energy. These micro nukes are remarkable. Mm-hmm. And we need to be looking at all of the above, because affordability, when the people of Colorado open their electric bill, their gas bill, they are gasping because it is getting so expensive to live in Colorado. And that's the third issue. We talked about safer communities. We talked about improving parents' authority over their child's education. And the third issue Republicans have really been leading on, and Democrats are joining in and saying, me too, me too, me too, is affordability. It is getting so incredibly expensive to live in Colorado, in part because the Democrats keep adding fee on top of fee on top of fee. I've been now 2 years in the House and one term, or two terms in the House and one term in the Senate, 8 years in the General Assembly, and every single year the state budget has grown dramatically faster than the real economy of Colorado. And what that means is the costs of people's lives are being driven up by government, and that is a big challenge. So people can get engaged. People think, oh my gosh, legislators, Congress, whatever. Well, I tell you what, the state legislature is very accessible, and especially now we're moving past COVID. Please, I would ask the people of Colorado, come down and sit in on the hearings. hear the bills that we are hearing. Come and testify. Explain why you like an idea or explain why you as a citizen oppose an idea. We as legislators love to hear that. And we're very accessible, all of us. There's 100 members, 65 in the House, 35 in the Senate.
Right.
We don't have a lot of insulation, staff insulation like they do at Congress. We're very accessible. Come and see us in the Colorado Capitol. We want you to come testify.
Well put. Representative McKeon, your thoughts on those questions?
You know, I'm really glad Paul brought up kind of what we look at, which is how is it that the state on the Republican side can get out of the way of the people of Colorado so that they can go and live their lives and not add regulation and cost and everything else? Because really, it comes down to families. It comes down to how our moms and dads, I don't care who it is, sitting at a kitchen table, how are they paying the bills? And I grew up in the 70s, and I remember rampant inflation, and I remember my parents sitting there trying to figure out how many of the bills sitting on that table they could pay. We're there again. We're there again with families who were working two jobs, now maybe only have one. They're sitting there trying to figure out how do they pay those bills. And I think, you know, from our perspective, that's what underlies everything, is how can we help those families out just in living their lives? And Jimmy, I appreciate you giving us, you know, the ability to really reach out and talk to folks. I'm going to echo what Paul said, is come down to the Capitol and talk to us about the bills you hear about. But the other thing that really hit home this year is talk to us about coming to see you. You know, I got a bunch of invitations this year to go out and see oil and gas sites and see the huge improvements that have been made in just, you know, the technology that we're using to carefully, cleanly extract oil and gas. But there are a bunch of other places that legislators need to go. And Paul and I don't operate in a vacuum. We talk to our colleagues on the Democrat side all the time, and if we can invite them out to come and see a mom-and-pop operation that's doing something innovative for this state, and we can get them to understand why their policies hurt them, all the better. So reach out to us and say, come see our business. Come talk to us. Come to our classroom and
great
talk to
idea.
Our kids and talk to
Amen.
Them about what happens.
I like that, to actually show, especially if you have a Democrat representative or senator who could benefit from knowing how the real business world works. That's a good thing. I think that's an excellent idea. By the way, Karen texting in. Hi, Jimmy. Use of natural gas is why we've had a decrease in emissions of greenhouse gases, which is absolutely true. All right, 30 seconds for each of you. Senator Lundeen, during the break, you pointed to the bumper that I had in the previous segment. It was Government Mule covering Junior Wells. Snatch it back and hold it. Seems like we do. Yes, that's the theme song. That's the new theme song here on the show for the 2022 elections. What are your quick 30-second takeaway in terms of the state Senate in 2022 come November?
Absolutely. Junior Wells has it right. Colorado Republicans, especially in the Senate and in the House, are going to snatch it back and hold it. The reality is we're building a Colorado majority presided over by common sense Republicans. The people of Colorado want that policy car out of the ditch and back on the road, and Republicans are the ones who can help them do it. Get out and engage, vote, participate.
And by the way, that again, that car that Senator Lundeen keeps pointing to was in fact stolen under Democrat crime policies, just like mine in 2020. All right, Representative McKeon, your thoughts on 2022 elections?
I'm going to keep going down the same analogy that, you know, part of the problem is that the Democrats in that car don't know how to drive a stick shift. And so they can't find reverse to save their lives. And the challenge is that exactly what we said earlier, they need us. They need our ideas. Our ideas have always been the ideas that help people prosper more. Our ideas have always been more freedom, more liberty, more ability to do what you need to do. And that's what we're looking
right
at in the House. We have a once in 30-year chance to take the House back, the Senate back, prove to the people of this state that we govern better than Democrats ever dreamed of governing. Because we have better ideas that trust the people of this state.
All right.
And indeed, take a
we got
to
roll.
Candidates get voted. Thank you.
Absolutely right. I'm not going to tell either of you if I know how to drive a stick shift or not. State Senator Paul Lundeen, Senate Minority Whip, and State Representative Hugh McKeon, leader for the Republicans in the minority in the House. Thank you both so much, and best of luck to you. That is it for us today. Randy Corporan up next. We'll be back next Saturday. The Jimmy Sangenberger Show. May God bless America.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.